As we began last Sunday, me sharing with you, focusing on faith. You see, faith that God gives you in who God is your power for walking on planet Earth in who you are. You see, God does say that I am. And the I am that God wants us to understand is, I am the one that's going to live in you. I'm the one, Larry, you're going to see one of these days when you walk through the door. I am the one that's gotten you out of all the trouble over the years. I am the one that's always been there. I am your God. So the power that we look for is no further away than a prayer. Let me reword that. God's power is in my life. Now, when I pray, then I am asking God to bless whatever I'm praying for. But if I don't pray, it does not alleviate God's power in my life. Have you ever got to the point where you became a little stubborn? You all are pitiful. So we find ourselves sometimes getting stubborn also with God. Be careful. Because God is in our life, in our physical being for a purpose. He's there to express His love to a lost and dying world through you. Now, do you not think that that's an honor? That God, when you said yes to Him, to His Son, then you receive the power of God through faith in your life. So wherever God sends you, the power is already there. You do not have to grow an army. The heavenly realm is the army of God. And Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Once again, let me remind you, and sometimes this leaves a bitter taste especially in the mouth of Baptist, the church is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. There's a book called the Holy Bible. God said, here are the rules. Any rules that are written in a church outside the scripture is not of God, because too many people want to rule God's house. The church is Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Therefore, we are governed by the holy word of God, are we not? God says, here's what I want you to do. What a lot of people forget is this, that God tells each individual Christian, I have something for you to do. Now, in your life, you want the power. You got to remember, everything worth doing in your life begins with a dream. It's a dream that is placed on your heart, no matter what ministry it might be. Crossway Pregnancy, it's a call to minister. Kentucky Ministry for Crime Prevention. But my ministry at the jails and prisons for over 3 decades, there's a dream. So you and I have been given power from on high to dream the dreams of what God has called us to do. There's no such thing, and no matter how often they tell you, as great people. There are only ordinary people with extraordinary dreams. The dream comes from God. The dream is cultivated in you by the Holy Spirit. And God says, I want you to catch the dream. But the dream so often that God is talking to you and me about catching is the very dream that we set aside because we got bigger and better dreams, we think, for our life. You notice that there is a war battling inside of you continually? All of us with our multi-personality disorders. One day we're up, the next day we're down. One day we're happy, the next day we're not happy. I mean, we got a lot of people living inside one individual. Personality. God says, let me give you something that's going to stabilize it. It's a dream. Okay, how then are you and I, according to Scripture, going to be able to discover the dream that God has for our life? Listen to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans of hope. Okay. When there's hope inside that heart of yours, you got a future. When hope is pushed aside, that's when depression comes in. I don't see an answer. I don't see an end to this. God says, wait a minute. I gave you a dream. And the dream that I place inside your heart is a dream that I want you to be able to fulfill. So therefore, I will give you the wisdom to walk in that dream, to see that dream come to completion. Many men have dreams. Few catch hold of the dream that God has for you. How to discover God's dream for your life? Number one, dedicate all your life to God. Be willing in advance to accept God's dream for your life. Now catch this next scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. There's a word here I want you to catch. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Folks, it begins with the living. It begins with you and I. God says, I want an active living human being. If you will not serve God while you're living, you will not serve God. When that body's gone. The dream is a spiritual dream. The body is merely the vehicle to carry that spirit and protect the mind and allow the mind to go into dreamland. Were you ever just sitting at a desk, anybody that's had to be too much time in school? You're sitting at your desk, table, whatever it is. The professor is talking. You know he's talking. You're looking straight at him. But you haven't the slightest idea what he just said. Even when he says, now you will see this later, meaning it'll be on the test. You don't care. Because you're in dreamland. I'll cram for that the night before. The dreams that we have, we call daydreaming. Are dreams that so often are the step that God will use to bring you to his true dream. But you got to watch it because a lot of them have nothing to do with God. So God says to us, I have a dream for you. A living sacrifice is what I want you to be, Larry. I want you to, I got to do it this way. The living sacrifice means this. For me, I'm called to preach. God says, now, in order for you to preach, so often you're going to have to preach to people that don't like you. You're going to proclaim the word of God to people that will mock you. You're going to put yourself in a place to where few ever get to be. But he's talking to every Christian. Did you know that you're supposed to be preachers? Every one of us are called to preach and to teach. So God says, here I am. So you see, Christ lives in me now, but he gave me this body alive to take his spirit, and that I am to project his spirit wherever that I go. You also. That's the living sacrifice. You're going to have to go to people that don't like you. You're going to have to do things that you physically or humanly don't like. that you know, it's uncomfortable for you. But you will sacrifice yourself from being uncomfortable to glorify God. Dedicated to His service. Do not conform to the standards of this world, but let God transform you. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, let me give you a little class on perfect. If you have your bulletin, you'll see it there. We discover God's dream by offering to try it on. Perfect in Greek means it fits me. It fits me. Oh, God doesn't make a mistake. All of us who were ever called to preach or to pastor or evangelize, whatever, you know, we so often said, Lord, why me? Why a hard-headed Marine? Why call me? One thing I know now, a call by God is the call to study. A call by God comes first. You can't educate your way into ministry. The call comes first. And then he says, here's your dream. And understand this, folks. I guarantee you that the dream that God puts inside your heart, your spirit, is a dream that will last for eternity. It is a dream that says, God says, this fits your personality, Larry. I reckon that's why he sent me as prison chaplain for 20-some years. Or 3 decades now. You fit right in, Larry. See, God, when he touches our heart, he says to us, I'm going to send you. But you have the opportunity to freely, of your own free will, choose not to go or choose to go. And let me add this one for you. Because you don't go does not mean that God will ever love you any less. He won't. You just simply miss the blessing. I don't want to miss any more blessings. I've thrown a lot of blessings away. Let somebody else do it. Now I've learned after this many years, I ain't going to let them do it. I like the blessings. I want to do it. It's God's dream for my life. Folks, get on your knees and ask God to show you that dream. The dream's already there. But don't let the world clutter up God's dream for your life. Listen to Hebrews 12:1. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back and run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. I have a particular race. To bring it to peculiar people. Christians are odd. Have you noticed that? Preachers are worse than odd. Every preacher I've ever met, my word, we're messed up. Think of it. You have your own personality, but here's what happens. God touches your heart the way he wants to touch you and leads you to the people he wants to lead you to. That's why he says, I want you to come alive. I don't want you sitting in a pew dead. I want you coming alive. My son has already died for you. Will you not live for him? Will you not take the dream that I placed in your heart and allow me to direct you with that dream? And I'll direct you into the education you might need. But the best education, folks, you will ever get will be from the Holy Spirit of God. His holy word, touching your life. School's a time for you to argue. And I know that because that's all we did. Especially when you're studying theology. Well, I have this idea. Let me tell you. The only idea that's ever going to work is God's. The only dream for your life that will ever make it is God's dream. How to discover God's dream? Number 2, reserve time alone with God. Job 37, verse 14. He's speaking to Job here. Pause a moment and listen. Consider the wonderful things God does. God speaks to people who will listen. You might be standing there, and God is telling you, as a Christian, take my word. But you won't get the dream in your life until you listen. And God will direct you into his dream. And if you want to hear God's dream vision for your life, turn off the television of the world. Spend a little more time in the Word of God. And when you spend more time in the Word of God, God will bless you with his work. The more time you spend in God's Word, the more time he will give you to spread his Word. I love the idea about leaving, and some people still think that I'm a little bit off on that, getting excited about walking through that door to eternity. You know what slowed me down on that? Nothing. What slowed me down on it was the idea that this is eternity. See, this is just the beginning of it. Now, I'll walk through the door one day, and you all are going to be there who have accepted Christ. And folks, the greatest excitement you and I are going to hear when we walk through that door is supper time. Fellowship in heaven. It'll never be like fellowship on earth. There'll be no bitterness. There'll be no smart aleck remarks. I don't know, God might let me make a few to some of you. But think of it. Next, I want you to evaluate your abilities. You want to catch God's dream? Okay, listen to Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to devote ourselves to the good deeds for which God has designed us. God designed each one of us. We are all different. We look different. We act different. None of us are the same in anything that's going on in our life. None of us. And yet, what brings us together is the same Savior named Jesus. Because, see, everybody can't be a Billy Graham. God only needed one. Everybody can't be a you. God only needed the you that is there. How do I know? Because nobody else like you. There's nobody else like you. Therefore, nobody else can catch the dream that God has for your life. It's a dream right to the depth of who you are. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Given means unearned. Given means unearned. You didn't earn it. It's a gift God's given to you. Got to watch it. I sound like a president there for a minute, won't I? But you didn't earn the gift that God has given you. If you want to know God's will, you look at what you're good at. If you don't think you're good at anything, let me tell you something. Get your lazy self up and get off the couch. Take that belly and throw it to the right side. Get up and walk. See, God says, I've given you this dream. There's a place for you. And if you don't know that place, it means you're not paying attention. God said, I'll show you. Or you may have paid attention and all of a sudden you said, whoa, that's not my dream, Lord. When you said, here am I, God, send me, then don't be trying to tell God where to send you. Amen. It is a ministry only you can minister because there's nobody else like you. Romans 12, verse 6. We are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. God freely gave, I will freely give. God tells us something, folks. And in the dream that he places in your heart, he says, let me show you me. I'm going to give you my dream. When you catch a dream from God, you're pretty important. I think. And so does the heavenly realm. Nobody else can catch that dream. I remember in the early years of ministry and in ministry as chaplain, I remember all the battles that came my way. Some I thought were so overwhelming that I was not going to be able to deal with it. And when I got to the point that those overwhelming negatives were coming at me, I hit my knees. Now, you want God to take care of business? You get on your knees and you cry out his name. And I want you to remember back, his son went on the cross for you and me. He was in a tomb until God came looking. No rock could hold him. No human desire could kill him. No power above or under the earth could influence him. He's my Savior. And think of it. Jesus would not allow the human dreams to enter his mind, his thought, because of you and me. I love you, Larry Pete. I will fulfill what was decided before time began. I will take your guilt and your punishment. Live in peace, Larry. The human race will never offer you peace. The human race will offer you things, concepts, great books. I, as a spokesman for Jesus Christ, the gospel, offer you from God salvation through his word. It's Jesus. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, all hell got mad. When I said yes to preaching the gospel, everybody got mad. When I said yes, I will go into the prisons. So I got there, I got mad. Lord, evangelism looked a little different than talking to convicted felons. But then I realized something. The dream that God had given me was a dream that he had formed me for. It was a dream for me to go and to preach. How many accepted Christ? I don't know that any more than I know how many in the church accepts Christ. My duty and your duty as a Christian is to preach the gospel with the gift that God has given you. Well, I can't preach. I've listened to many people who do a pretty good job of preaching to their husbands and to their wives. Okay, number four. Associate with godly dreamers. Dreams are caught, not taught. Oh, I want you to teach me how to dream. Can't. The dream is caught. Who throws it? God throws it straight at you. Gives you the Holy Spirit to catch it. But what you have to do is recognize it. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, friend sharpens friend. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad friends ruin the noblest people. I always tell people to watch your friends, watch your friends. But you know something that we miss so often? Sometimes we are that bad friend. Sometimes we are the one that's leading the other. Every time anybody would come to jail, I'd always hear people say they were hanging with the wrong people. And then I realized they're the wrong people. You see, you and I can hang with anybody we want, right? Still in America right now, we're free to choose that. And God says, I want you to get around with godly dreamers. Be in church. Be around God's people. Number five, the final one. Make your dream public. Make your dream public. It demonstrates faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Acts 13, verse 36. David served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. Let me read that again. David served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. You know when I'll die? When I will have served God's purpose on earth. Folks, I do not want to stick around. I love you all, but I do not want to stick around with you when the job is done. I want to go on. I'll wait for you there. But I'm excited about it because I know it is of God, and I cannot fear that. Acts 20, verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I am not at war with anyone, and I am an individual who says, whosoever will, let him come. That's scripture. I don't have to blow people up to get their attention. I'm not asked to do that by God. I am told by God, I gave you the dream. I'll give you the power. And I want you to know something, Larry Pete. When it's finished, I'll be the one that finishes it. It'll be God that finishes it. Now, you and I are vessels. Be thankful for that. We're vessels controlled as Christians by the power of God through His Holy Spirit for one purpose: to take the good news. Each one of us had been given a different ability so we can touch the life of the people who can associate with your gift. And when you can associate with them and share with them Christ, you have finished the work at some point, and the door will open and you will step through to an eternal life that you'll never imagine because of the eternal love of Jesus Christ. Oh, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the blessings, the joy, for the love that only you can give us. Touch each one of us now. Father, as we search our heart for the dream that you placed within us, encourage us, Father. Give us the direction of the day, the power that we're going to need. And we ask, Father, for the faith that only you can give us. We know now, Father, that it focuses around who you are in our life, not who we are in your life. Touch us that we fulfill that commitment in Jesus' name. Amen.